this morning we're starting a brand new sermon series. It's called Urban Legends. And, we do three or four sermon series a year here on Sunday. And I think every time we do one, I think it's like the most important one we've ever done. But I'm here to tell you this morning, I think this sermon series is going to be one of the most important ones we've ever done. I guess I just have to say that for everyone. You know, it's like when preachers preach on a Bible verse, they'll always introduce it like, "This is my favorite Bible verse." You ever notice that? Every sermon is like, "This is my favorite Bible verse." Well, this is going to be my favorite sermon series. And, just like there are myths about government people or politicians or movie actors, there are myths and legends about God, about Jesus, and about Christianity. When I use this term urban legend, what I mean, like the definition of an urban legend is like a myth which is passed around over and over and over and over. It's repeated again and again. Sometimes they have a little bit of truth in them. Sometimes there's no truth in them at all. But it's constantly passed around. I think probably a more contemporary term, instead of using the words urban legend, we probably could just use the words fake news. It's just fake news, you know, a little bit of truth, a lot of distortion. But in the next 6 weeks, we'll be talking about different urban legends about God, about Jesus, about Christianity. We'll be talking about the urban legend that says there are many ways to God. We'll talk about an urban legend which says all sin is really the same. I will talk about an urban legend that says Christians are always supposed to turn the other cheek. Talk about an urban legend which says to forgive is to forget. We'll look at an urban legend which says when we all die, we're going to heaven and we're going to play harps sitting on a cloud. You know, it's the picture you always see. Or we'll talk, and last one, we'll talk about the urban legend that says no good people will ever really go to hell. So this is going to be helpful to you. I'm pretty sure some of you, if not many of you, struggle with some of these urban legends. And so I encourage you, make it a point to come. These will really, really help you. You'll have to deal with some issues in your heart, but I think you'll find that this will help you in your Christian walk. So, but just for an intro, for fun, I thought I'd look up some the more contemporary urban legends that are flying around right now. You know, urban legends have a different kind of lifespan. Sometimes they last for a week. Sometimes they last for a month. Sometimes they last for years. But I don't know if you've seen any of these, but have you seen the last one flying around for the past year about Facebook? So Facebook supposedly has a new algorithm, and the algorithm only allows you to see 26 people that they've chosen for you to see. And so now the only way to break through this is you have to copy this message that somebody's posted, and then you post it into your status, and that breaks the algorithm. Any of you seen this one? Oh my gosh, yeah, it's everywhere, it's everywhere. And I looked at it like, I should do this. It's fake. It's totally fake. There's no truth to it at all. The thing that truly, you can cut and paste all you want, it's not going to break their algorithm. There is no algorithm. Just count how many people you see. You'll see you've got way more than 26. What determines who you see and when you see it is simply things like how many times you like it, how many times you interact. That will determine what kind of stuff. But they do have algorithms, but it's not based on just 26 people. But this is passed around primarily because people have this thing inside of them, this kind of conspiracy fear and the big brother fear. So they see that, it's like, yep, I knew it. And so you pass it around. Now there's a couple others I'm going to share with you. So if you, any of you seen this picture of the NFL player Mike Bennett? This ought to make you mad, right? What the heck? The guy's burning an American flag. This is a Seattle Seahawk. Mike Bennett is a guy who's taking a knee during the national anthem. And so, wow, you see this picture. It's like, oh, when I saw that, I just got so mad. Like, I just want to yell. Only thing is, that's not real. That's fake. Here's the real picture. Oops. He's just dancing because they won. Yeah, some right-wing conservative fanatic adds a little picture of the burning flag. And so then people that got this thought about those NFL players that are kneeling, they really hate America. And so you see that picture and yep, I'm passing that around. You just get caught up in this stuff. And then here's my favorite one. So here's one. Have you guys seen this one? This sign some guy put out, Trump made America the best country in the nation. Is that awesome? Is there a problem with that? So now, everybody gets in on these urban myths. So you got the right-wing people passing around their urban myths. And well, here's the liberal left. You know, this is totally fake. Totally fake. There is no sign like that. Notice a crunched-up car on the top. This is passed around by the liberal left, and this is to make it look like any Trump supporter is like an ignorant fool. He doesn't even know that there's something wrong with this, you know. And it's like, man, you just have to be careful. You don't get caught up. And the thing is, some myths, they like live on forever. Like the Kennedy assassination. There are people that are going to take that one to the grave, that was not really what we've been told. Or the 9/11 Twin Tower collapse. You know, there's people that just, they're convinced they have secret information. And what happens is these urban legends connect with something that we already believe. They support a belief we have. And so we will take those legends and we will believe them in spite of the facts. And this is sad because, just as I said, there's legends about politicians and movie stars. There's legends, urban legends, myths that people have bought into because it's what they already believe, and so they buy it. And this is a myth about God or a myth about Jesus. And so what we want to do over the next 6 weeks, look at the facts. What are the facts? And then try and process it through. If it's contrary to what we already believe, then we've got to process through that. So today, the first part is called the myth, urban legend, is many ways to God. There are many ways to God. So I've chosen this one because I think this is the absolute most dangerous of all urban legends. Yet this is probably one of the most common things you hear people say. All over the world, this is a legend that people will say over and over. It's like the gospel truth. There's many ways to heaven. You hear it on TV, movie stars say it, celebrities, politicians, athletes. Oh, there's many ways to God, many ways to God. But here's really why I'm driving this one home. Recent poll done of evangelicals in evangelical churches, that's us, we're considered an evangelical church. The reason they use that term is because there are some churches that are not evangelical. They're anything but evangelical. They've gone so far liberal, they're not referred to as evangelical. Evangelical church would be churches that believe that Jesus came and died for our sins, that we must be born again. That's an evangelical church. Almost 60% of people who attend evangelical churches have bought into this myth that there are many ways to heaven. Almost 60%. So we need to take a look at this, and we need to look at some of the facts and find out, well, what are the facts? And let's see, you know, where we land on this issue of the myth, there are many ways to God. So the first thing we'll look at is the claims of Jesus. What did Jesus say about himself? So we'll look at a passage in John chapter 14. John 14. So this would be Jesus' words, and he's speaking to the disciples, and then he says here, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So this is, if you have a red letter edition Bible, this is a quote from Jesus. This is his exact words. And Jesus, throughout the Gospels, was known for saying what we would call today, or what we would have called even in his day, very radical statements. You know, he said things like, in order to find your life, you have to lose it. He said, the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. These are statements when you hear, like, whoa, that's different. The meek shall inherit the earth. It's better to give than to receive. Love your enemies. Pray for your enemies. So he was known for making these controversial statements, which were unique at the time, and pretty much are still unique today. But this one, by far, is the most outrageous statement that Jesus ever made. I'm convinced nothing is even close to this when it says, I am the way. No one comes to the Father except through me. except through me. So this is like when it comes to Jesus, if you talk to people about Jesus, I've never met anybody who denies that Jesus existed. You know, most people, they know he existed. I've never run across anyone who would say, I don't like Jesus' teachings. Everybody loves his stories, his parables, the Good Samaritan, and you know, stuff like that. They all love that. But when it comes to this kind of statement, then people start backing off. They don't like this. This is considered narrow-minded. This is considered politically incorrect. But this is a passage where you don't have to be a theologian to understand it. This is clearly Jesus speaking, and he's not hesitating. He's saying, I'm the way. I mean, just picture yourself being there, and he says, listen, no one gets to the Father unless you go through me. That is a challenging moment. And it's not as though Jesus only said this once. He says it throughout the scriptures, throughout the gospels. You find him making these kind of claims. In the Gospel of John chapter 10, he takes it a little step farther when he says, not only am I the door, the way to heaven, but he says, listen, everybody else, all the other religious leaders, they're thieves and robbers. Everybody else. Now this is exclusive. This is very, very exclusive. When he says everyone else, he means people like Buddha, the Buddhist. He said the thieves and robbers. That guy is a thief. Hindus. And the fact that he said all those who came before me would include all those who come after him. Anybody else claiming to be the way is a thief and a robber. That would include Mohammed and Muslims, all the other faiths. Jesus is saying, I'm the way. This is so clear and so simple, you could read it in any language and not miss this. He clearly thought he was the way. The other thing that's amazing when you read about this is you don't find in other readings other religious leaders making this kind of bold statement, clearly setting themselves above everyone else. You don't find in any of the writings of Buddha, Confucius, anybody I've ever spoken to. I haven't done lots of reading on these other people, but enough to know I've never come across any other religious leader saying, I'm the way. The reason they wouldn't say that is because that becomes incredibly challenging. Your life has to match that. And you can imagine, here's Jesus telling his disciples, if his life didn't match that, his disciples would have left. They were challenged by it, but they had to look at it and say, man, this is a pretty serious thing. He's saying he's the only way. And you'll notice in this comment, you don't find Jesus saying, I am one of the ways. You know, that would be inclusive. That would be politically correct. I'm one of the ways to heaven. No, I am the way to heaven. You don't find him saying, if you're good, you'll get to heaven. If you're sincere, you'll get to heaven. He didn't say, if you keep the Ten Commandments, you'll get to heaven. He didn't say, if you go to church on Sunday, you'll get to heaven. Clearly, I am the way. This goes against all of the teaching and the feel-good comments that people will make to say, well, there's got to be many ways to heaven. There's only one. According to Jesus, there is only one. So the first thing, we're looking at facts. What did Jesus say about himself? He said he's the way. You can't miss this. You cannot miss this. And actually, C.S. Lewis wrote a book called Mere Christianity, and my one takeaway from that book, a lot of great stuff in the book, but the one takeaway he said is, look, either Jesus was who he said he was, or he was insane. You can't put Jesus in a good teacher category, good prophet category, and not accept the fact that he claimed to be the only way to get to heaven. The only way to the Father was through him. He either is or he isn't. So the first thing is, clearly Jesus said he was the only way. What about the second thing that defeats this myth that there are many ways to heaven? Well, what about his followers? What did they say? So here they're sitting there. Jesus is saying to them, I'm the only way. Jesus dies. He's resurrected. He ascends to heaven. What about the followers? Well, look in the book of Acts. You'll find part of a sermon here that Peter preached in the book of Acts, chapter 4. And this is Peter preaching. He's a follower of Jesus. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Peter, Nor is there salvation, he's talking about Jesus, nor is there salvation in any others. And he says, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. There is no other name under heaven. I watched this video of Oprah years back when she's going, what does it matter what name, you know, Allah, whatever, they're all the same. No. No other name. So these are the followers of Jesus. So Jesus said it, so that's a fact. And then what about the followers of Jesus? Well, the fact is they believed he was the only way. They did not buy into the myth that he was just one of many ways, that maybe he was just good for those people right then and there for that time. Maybe it was just the select that caught that. The rest had other ways. No, there's no other name under heaven whereby men can be saved. Now, I don't know if any of you have ever been challenged by that kind of comment, but I know I've been. I've had to process through that. I know there have been many times over the years where I've been asked, Dave, you really believe there's only one way to heaven? You've never been put on that spot. That's an awkward position, especially if everybody's around. Like, I remember being at dinner one time, and we're all eating dinner, a bunch of guys, and all of a sudden the guy leans across and says, Dave, you really believe there's only one way to heaven? It's like, I can't know. You start choking, like, okay, well, I guess it's time to talk about it, you know? So, yeah. And here's been my response. I'm sure there's many other responses, but here's my response. I say it like this, sir, I am a follower of Jesus. And if Jesus said he's the only way, then I have no option. Either I am or I am not. It's that simple. It's really that simple. Either I follow him and he said he's the only way, or I don't follow him because he's not the only way. I don't have the option. I mean, this is clearly a dividing line among Christians, and at some point you have to deal with this. And here's my take on it. The fact that I believe there is no other name under heaven whereby men can be saved, I believe I'm in good company. Jesus' apostles took this truth to the grave. They died for this belief. They did not believe there were many ways to heaven, and every one of them suffered some kind of horrible death because they would not change this view. I say I'm in good company. Jesus said he was the only way. His followers said he was the only way. I am a follower of Jesus. Now, anytime you talk about this, that brings up the inevitable question, which is, what about the native and deepest, darkest Africa who never heard the name of Jesus? What about people who are following other religions? What about people who are good, God-fearing people, and they don't believe it? What about, is God going to send them to hell? That's a challenging question, right? It's another one you just go, man, I've got to figure this one out. Well, here's a couple things. When Jesus said this, and when Peter said this, do you think people asked the question then? Or are we the only ones asking that? We're the most enlightened people in the world throughout history? No. They asked Jesus that question, and people have asked it since then. And I believe the scriptures have answers for that. But again, just like urban legends, people will, in spite of the facts, will believe something because it supports what they already believe or what they want to believe. What does the Bible say about those who've never heard the name of Jesus? Well, there's several places. One is Psalm 19. Psalm 19 says, the heavens declare the glory of God. God has revealed himself through creation, through nature. And a person can find God through nature. The one true God, not a false God, not an idol. And there's a story of the story of Abraham in the Old Testament. His father was an idol worshiper, but Abraham sought after the one true God, and he found God, and he became the father of faith. He became the father of faith. You can find God through nature. There's other passages which talk about the conscience of man. God has planted in every man an awareness of eternity and a conscience, which is the voice of God. The Proverbs speak about this. Romans chapter 1, Most of that chapter talks about how God has revealed himself through nature, how God has revealed himself through man's conscience, and it even ends and says, therefore, people are without excuse. There is no excuse. If a person truly seeks God, God will reveal himself. That's what the Bible says. I have to deal with it, but that's what the Bible says. The second thing is, about what about that good person? What about the person who never heard of Jesus? Here's what the Bible says. There are no good people. There's no good religious person. There is none. The Bible says everyone has sinned. Everyone has fallen short of the glory of God. So nobody is good enough to earn their way to heaven. We're all sinners. Everyone. And so the Bible says unless we call upon God and come to the realization that we need a Savior, we will not be saved. So there's nobody who's with, people have no excuse whether they've heard the gospel or whether they haven't. There is no excuse. I know that sounds hard. I know that's intolerant. I know that's hate speech. I'm dealing with Scripture. I believe this is what the Bible says. He's revealed himself through nature. He has revealed himself through your conscience. And the real question to ask is, what are people doing with the knowledge that God has given them? If they cry out to God, God will reveal himself. He'll reveal himself through Jesus, not through some other false prophet. He is the one true God, and no one is without excuse. But here's the issue. It is difficult for people to find God by themselves. It is difficult. It's so easy to deceive yourself, to silence your conscience, to tell yourself, shut up, and just subdue the conscience. We can do it. We do it even as Christians. We resist the Holy Spirit. It's way easier to resist the conscience, which is the voice of God. So it's difficult to find God on your own. That is why the Bible says we are to preach the gospel. We are the second witness. We bear witness to what God has already spoken in the heart of every man, woman, and child who's ever lived, who has ever been born. We are the second witness. We are the voice of God. And so it puts that realization, yeah, people can get saved without God, but it's difficult. We are the witnesses. But I'm not going to get tripped up with what about the native and deepest, darkest Africa. Really, just deal with this. God will take care of that. Okay, God will take care of that. I could go into great detail how other passages, how I think he takes care of it, but just trust. God is just. He's not going to send good people to hell. He's not going to send people who never had a chance to hell. You can be sure they've had multiple chances. Anyone who is separated from God eternally is that way because of their choice. They've resisted the witness of God. But here's the real question. Rather than worrying about the one who's never heard the gospel, why don't we answer this question? This is a question Jesus asked, and we'll finish with this. This is found in Matthew. It's Matthew 16. And this is Jesus talking to the disciples. He's asking them, you know, who do men say I am? And he gets down to verse 15, and then he says to the disciples, they're saying, well, some say you're Elijah the prophet, some say you're John the Baptist. See, yeah, but what do you say? What do you say? Verse 15. But who do you say that I am? This is Jesus. Peter says, I believe you're the Son of God. This is ultimately the question we each have to answer. Now, do we believe Jesus is the representation of God, the Savior of the world, the Son of God? Do we believe him? Do we believe his words? And if we do, we find salvation. We find a relationship with God. And if we resist, we are held accountable for that. Ultimately, everybody's going to answer that question. Who do you say he is? And my prayer for you is that you come to grips with the fact that you believe he is the Son of God, the one true Savior, and that there is salvation in no other. So in summary, I know this myth that there are many ways to heaven is a feel-good myth. It just fits with our society. We are a pluralistic society. We want to be tolerant. We don't ever want to be looked at as narrow-minded. I don't want people to think of me as ignorant, but I have to make a decision. What are the facts? Simply, what are the facts? Well, fact number one, Jesus said he was the only way. Fact number two, his followers, after he left, took that truth to the grave, said there is salvation in no other. There's salvation in no other. But ultimately, the real question you want to deal with is, where are you at? Where are you at? What do you say he is? And the correct answer is, he is the one true way to reaching God the Father, to experiencing a living, vibrant relationship with God, which is what Jesus came to do, is restore man to God. So the myth that there are many ways to heaven is a myth. There's only one way, and that's Jesus. Let's close in prayer. Jesus, we thank you that you came to this earth. You lived a life which was without fault and blame, and so when you claim to be the only way, your life testified of it, and you ultimately rose from the grave to prove that you were the Savior of the world. You died for the sins of the world. God, I pray for anyone here today who may be struggling with that myth that there must be other ways to heaven, but God, that you would reveal to them who Jesus really was and what he said. And rather than worrying about others in other parts of the world, God, that we would at least deal with our life. Who do we say he is? God, that we would come to the realization that he truly is our Savior. We thank you. I thank you that you sent him, God, that there was no other way. Welcome your presence here, Father, as we enter into worship. God, as we just rededicate our lives to you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we just present ourselves to you here this morning, God. We thank you that you have revealed yourself to us. Continue to reveal yourself to us, God. As I was worshiping, I got this sense that there's some of us here this morning that the only way I can describe it, feel like you've got some cobwebs up there and not making much progress. Maybe you've hit a stall in your walk, sensing maybe a need of clarity for direction. God has just been maybe challenging you to move forward, and for some reason need some clarity. I just get a sense that the Holy Spirit wants a breakthrough this morning. Just wants to, you know, like shine the light and make it clear so that all that's left is just a decision, yes. But sometimes it's hard if you don't get a clarity. So am I speaking to someone here this morning? If I am, just hold your hand up. We're going to pray for you that God would give you that clarity, this breakthrough right over here, all the way back there. Just hold your hand up. I'm going to pray right up here. I'm going to pray for clarity, that the Holy Spirit would break through right now. So hold your hand up. If you're standing next to somebody who's got the hand up, just stand with them. Just let's pray together. So Father, right now, I pray, Holy Spirit, let your light shine. In Jesus' name, let your light shine. Break through the cobwebs. Break through any of the confusion, God, give clarity right now. Awakening, Holy Spirit, clarity in the name of Jesus. Man, right now, Holy Spirit, my brother all the way in the back, in the name of Jesus right now. Just receive it right now. Sister, right up here, in the name of Jesus. Just say yes, 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 in the name of Jesus, right over here, in the name of Jesus. Clarity, Father, in the name of Jesus. Direction, in the name of Jesus, right now, Father. I believe that the Spirit of God is speaking to you right now. You just want to receive that. I would recommend that after the service you talk to someone that just just to get this bounced off of somebody, but I believe the Holy Spirit's giving you clarity. Brother, all the way in the back, I believe he's giving you clarity right now. In the name of Jesus, right now. Come, Holy Spirit. Just also sense that there's some healing needed this morning, some people dealing with some sicknesses. I don't know, I got this impression somebody's dealing with an infection and just can't seem to break through, that they've been to the doctor, but it's an infection that's just lingering. Need healing in the name of Jesus. Anybody here dealing with an infection they just need healing from right now in the name of Jesus? Need healing from an infection that just hasn't healed. Anybody? It's the Holy Spirit. Come. Come, Holy Spirit. Well, let's just take a minute here as we close in prayer. I just want to make an offer to everybody here to say, have you opened your heart up to Jesus? You know, there's a difference between going to church. There's a difference between saying, I believe Jesus existed, to saying, I've accepted him into my life as my Lord and Savior. There's a very big difference there. And sometimes people just don't realize they haven't made that decision. But I just want to challenge you here this morning. Just take a minute and pray. And if you've never made that decision, or if you've made the decision, but for some reason or another, you've slipped off the path, but this morning you're here and you're sensing the Holy Spirit just kind of pulling you back, it would be good to make a decision this morning to say, yes, I want to accept Jesus into my life and to follow him as my Lord. So I'm just going to invite the Holy Spirit right now. Father, by your Holy Spirit, just do the soul searching that only you can do. You, Father, we know you know the spiritual condition of every person in this room. Only you know where they're at. But Father, I pray right now, knock on some hearts, the doors of some hearts here this morning. Knock on those doors. Let them hear. Let them sense that call, Holy Spirit. Awaken within them the desire to want to surrender their life to you, to ask you in and accept you as their Lord and Savior. So right while we're praying, if there's anyone that's sensing that desire, wants to make a decision this morning, would you just do me a favor? Right where you're at, just hold your hand up. We're going to pray for you that God would honor that decision. You want to commit your life to Christ this morning. Accept Jesus as your Lord. Just hold your hand up. We're going to pray for you. Anybody this morning? And this is a decision only you can make. Your parents can't make it for you. Your spouse cannot make it for you. It doesn't matter if mom and dad were Christians. The question is, where are you at? What have you done with Jesus? Have you opened your life to him? Have you opened your heart? Anybody this morning? One more time, in the name of Jesus. Just raise your hand. Let me know where you're at. We're going to pray for you. Holy Spirit, thank you for your presence here. God, we just welcome your presence as we close our service, God. Just continue to speak to us. Bless us, God, in Jesus' name. We're going to close with one last song.
All things have passed away. Your love has stayed the same. Your constant grace remains the cornerstone. Things that we thought were poor.